Hemologic decay was less obvious in Inquisitors that had been created from Mistborn. Since they already had allomantic powers, the addition of other abilities made them awesomely strong. In most cases, however, Inquisitors were created from Mistings. It appears that Seekers, like Marsh, were the favored recruits. For when a Mistborn wasn't available, an Inquisitor with enhanced bronze abilities was a powerful tool for searching out Ska Mistings. 37. Screams rose in the distance. Vin started upright in her cabin. She hadn't been sleeping, though she'd been close. Another night of scouting Fadrick's city had left her tired. All fatigue was forgotten, however, as the sounds of battle clanged from the north. Finally, she thought, throwing off her blankets and dashing from the cabin. She wore her standard trousers and shirt and, as always, carried several vials of metals. She downed one of these as she scrambled across the deck of the narrow boat.
"Lady Vin," one of the bargemen called through the day mists. "The camp has been attacked."
"And about time, too," Vin said, as she pushed herself off the boat's cleats, hurling herself into the air. She shot through the morning mists, curls and wisps of white making her feel as a bird might flying through a cloud. With Tin, she soon found the battle. Several groups of men on horseback had ridden into the north section of camp and were apparently trying to make their way toward the supply barges, which floated in a well-protected bend in the canal. A group of Ellen's allomancers had set up a perimeter at one side, thugs in the front, coin shots picking off the riders from behind. The regular soldiers held the middle, fighting well since the horsemen were slowed by the camp's barricades and fortifications. "Ellen was right," Vin thought with pride, descending through the air. "If we hadn't exposed our men to the mists, we'd be in trouble right now." The king's planning had saved their supplies and baited out one of Yeoman's harrying forces. The riders had probably expected to run easily through the camp, catching the soldiers unaware and trapped by mist, then set fire to the supply barges. Instead, Ellen's scouts and patrols had provided enough warning, and the enemy cavalry was bogged down in a head-on fight. Yeoman's soldiers were punching through into the camp on the south side. Though Ellen's soldiers fought well, their enemies were mounted. Vin plunged down through the sky, flaring pewter and strengthening her body. She tossed a coin, pushing on it to slow herself and hit the dark ground, throwing up a huge spray of ash. The southern bank of riders had penetrated as far as the third line of tents. Vin chose to land right in the middle of them. No horseshoes, Vin thought as soldiers began to turn toward her. And spears, stone-tipped instead of swords. Yeoman certainly is careful. It almost felt like a challenge. Vin smiled, the adrenaline feeling good after so many days spent waiting. Yeoman's captains began to call out, turning their attack toward Vin. In seconds they had a force of some 30 riders galloping straight at her. Vin stared them down. Then she jumped. She didn't need steel to get herself high. Her pewter-enhanced muscles were enough for that. She crested the lead soldier's spear, feeling it pass through the air beneath her. Ash swirled in the morning mists as Vin's foot took the soldier in the face, throwing him backward from the saddle. She landed beside his rolling body, then dropped a coin and pushed herself to the side, out of the way of galloping hooves. The unfortunate rider she'd unhorsed cried out as his friends inadvertently trampled him. Vin's push carried her through the open flaps of a large canvas sleeping tent. She rolled to her feet and then, still in motion, pushed against the tent's metal stakes, ripping them from the ground. The walls shook, and there was a snap of canvas as the tent shot upward into the air, spread taut as its stakes all went different directions. Ash blew outward from the burst of air, and soldiers on both sides of the conflict turned toward Vin. She allowed the tent to fall down in front of her, then pushed. The canvas caught the air, puffing out, and the stakes ripped free from the tent, shooting forward to spear horses and riders. Men and beasts fell. Canvas fluttered to the ground before Vin. She smiled, then jumped over the discarded tangle as the riders tried to organize another assault. She didn't give them time. Ellen's soldiers in the area had pulled back, shoring up the center of the defensive line, leaving Vin free to attack without fear of harming her own men. She dashed between the horsemen, their massive mounts hindering them as they tried to keep track of her. Men and horses spun, and Vin pulled, tearing tents out of the ground, using their metal stakes like arrows. Dozens fell before her. The sound of galloping came from behind, and Vin spun to see that one of the enemy officers had managed to organize another charge. 10 men came straight at her, some with spears leveled, others drawing bows. Vin didn't like killing, but she loved allomancy, loved the challenge of using her skills, the strength and thrill of the pushes and pulls, the electric sense of power that came only from a body flared with pewter. When men such as these gave her an excuse to fight, she didn't restrain herself. The arrows didn't have a chance against her. Pewter gave her speed and balance as she spun out of the way, pulling on a metal source behind her. She jumped into the air as a rippling tent passed beneath her, carried forward by her pull a moment before. She landed, then pushed on several of its stakes, a couple on each of 2 tent corners. The tent folded upon itself, looking a bit like a napkin, someone pulling tightly on opposite corners. And this hit the legs of the horses like a tripwire. Vin burned Duralumin, then pushed. The horses in front screamed, the improvised weapons scattering them to the ground. The canvas ripped and the stakes pulled free, but the damage was done. Those in front tripped those behind, and men tumbled beside their beasts. Vin downed another vial to replenish her steel. Then she pulled, whipping another tent toward her. As it grew close, she jumped, then spun and pushed the tent toward another group of mounted men behind. The tent's stakes struck one of the soldiers in the chest, throwing him backward. He crashed through the other soldiers, causing chaos. The man hit the ground, slumping lifeless into the ash. Still tied to him by the stakes in his chest, the canvas tent fluttered down, covering his body like a funeral shroud. Vin spun, seeking more enemies. The riders, however, were beginning to withdraw. She stepped forward, intending to chase them down, but stopped. Someone was watching her. She could see a shadow in the mist. She burned bronze. The figure thumped with the power of metals. Allomancer, Mistborn. He was far too short to be Elend, but she couldn't tell much more than that through the shadow of mist and ash. Vin didn't pause to think. She dropped a coin and shot herself toward the stranger. He leaped backward, pushing himself into the air as well. Vin followed, quickly leaving the camp behind, bounding after the Allomancer. He quickly made his way to the city, and she followed, moving in vast leaps over an ashen landscape. Her quarry crested the rock formations at the front of the city, and Vin followed, landing just a few feet from a surprised guard patrol, then launching herself over crags and windswept rocks into Fadrick's proper. The other Allomancer stayed ahead of her. There was no playfulness to his motions, as there had been with Zane. This man was really trying to escape. Vin followed, now leaping over rooftops and streets. She gritted her teeth, frustrated at her inability to catch up. She timed each jump perfectly, barely pausing as she chose new anchors and pushed herself from arc to arc. Yet he was good. He rounded the city, forcing her to push herself to keep up. Fine, she finally thought, then prepared her Duralumin. She'd gotten close enough to the figure that he was no longer shadowed in mist, and she could see that he was real and corporeal, not some phantom spirit. She was increasingly certain that this was the man she'd sensed watching her when she'd first come into Fadrick's. Yeoman had a Mistborn. However, to fight the man, she'd first need to catch him. She waited for the right moment, just when he was beginning to crest one of his arcing jumps, then extinguished her metals and burned Duralumin. Then she pushed. A crash sounded behind her as her unnatural push shattered the door she'd used as an anchor. She was thrown forward with a terrible burst of speed like an arrow released from a bow. She approached her opponent with awesome speed. And found nothing. Vin cursed, turning her tin back on. She couldn't leave it on while burning Duralumin, otherwise her tin would burn away in a single flash, leaving her blinded. But she'd effectively done the same thing by turning it off. She pulled herself down from her Duralumin push to land maladroitly atop a nearby roof. She crouched as she scanned the misty air. Where did you go, she thought, burning bronze, trusting in her innate, yet still unexplained ability to pierce copper clouds to reveal her opponent. No Allomancer could hide from Vin unless he completely turned off his metals. Which, apparently, this man had done. Again! This was the second time he'd eluded her. It bespoke a disquieting possibility. Vin had tried very hard to keep her ability to pierce copper clouds a secret. but it had been nearly 4 years since her discovery of it. Zane had known about it, and she couldn't know who else had guessed based on things she could do. Her secret could very well be out. Vin remained on that rooftop for a few moments, but knew she'd find nothing. A man clever enough to escape her at the exact moment when her tin was down would also be clever enough to remain hidden until she was gone. In fact, it made her wonder why he had let her see him in the first... Vin stood bolt upright, then downed a metal vial and pushed herself off the rooftop, jumping with a furious anxiety back toward the camp. She found the soldiers cleaning up the wreckage and bodies at the camp's perimeter. Elland was moving among them, calling out orders, congratulating the men, and generally letting himself be seen. Indeed, sight of his white-clothed form immediately brought Vin a sense of relief. She landed beside him. "Elland, were you attacked?" He glanced at her.
"What, me? No, I'm fine."
"Then the Allomancer wasn't sent to distract me from an attack on Elland," she thought, frowning. "It had seemed so obvious. It—" Elland pulled her aside, looking worried.
"I'm fine, Vin. But there's something else. Something's happened."
"What?" Vin asked. Elland shook his head.
"I think this all was just a distraction. The entire attack on the camp."
"But if they weren't after you," Vin said, "and they weren't after our supplies, then what was to distract us from?"
Elland met her eyes. "The Koloss."
"How did we miss this?" Vin asked, sounding frustrated. Elland stood with a troop of soldiers on a plateau, waiting as Vin and Ham inspected the burned siege equipment. Down below, he could see Fadrick's city and his own army camped outside it. The mists had retreated a short time ago. It was disturbing that from this distance he couldn't even make out the canal. The falling ash had darkened its waters and covered the landscape to the point that everything just looked black. At the base of the plateau's cliffs lay the remnants of their Koloss army. 20,000 had become 10,000 in a few brief moments, as a well-laid trap had rained down destruction on the beasts while Ellen's troops were distracted. The Damists had kept his men from seeing what was going on until it was too late. Elland himself had felt the deaths, but had misinterpreted them as Koloss sensing the battle.
"Caves in the back of those cliffs," Ham said, poking at a bit of charred wood. "Yeoman probably had the trebuchets stored in the caves in anticipation of our arrival, though I'd guess they were originally being built for an assault on Luthadel. Either way, this plateau was a perfect staging area for a barrage. I'd say Yeoman set them up here intending to attack our army, but when we camped the Koloss just beneath the plateau..."
Elland could still hear the screams in his head. The Koloss, full of bloodlust and frothing to fight, yet unable to attack their enemies, which were high atop the plateau. The falling rocks had done a lot of damage, and then the creatures had slipped away from him. Their frustration had been too powerful, and for a time he hadn't been able to keep them from turning on each other. Most of the deaths had come as the Koloss attacked each other. Roughly one of every two had died as they had paired off and killed each other. "I lost control of them," he thought. It had only been for a short while, and it had only happened because they hadn't been able to get at their enemies. However, it set a dangerous precedent. Vin, frustrated, kicked a large chunk of burned wood, sending it tumbling down the side of the plateau.
"This was a very well-planned attack, El," Ham said, speaking in a soft voice. "Yeoman must have seen us sending out extra patrols in the mornings and correctly guessed that we were expecting an attack during those hours. So he gave us one, then hit us where we should have been the strongest." "It cost him a lot, though," Elland said. "He had to burn his own siege equipment to keep it away from us, and he has to have lost hundreds of soldiers, plus their mounts, in the attack on our camp."
"True," Ham said. "But would you trade a couple dozen siege weapons and 500 men for 10,000 Koloss? Plus, Yeoman has to be worried about keeping that cavalry mobile. A survivor only knows where he got enough grain to feed those horses, as long as he did. Better for him to strike now and lose them in battle than to have them starve."
Elland nodded slowly. "This makes things more difficult, with 10,000 fewer Koloss." Suddenly, the forces were much more evenly matched. Elend could maintain his siege, but storming the city would be far more risky. He sighed.
We shouldn't have left the Koloss so far outside of the main camp. We'll have to move them in.
Ham didn't seem to like that.
They're not dangerous, Elend said. Vin and I can control them.
Mostly. Ham shrugged. He moved back through the smoking wreckage, preparing to send messengers. Elend walked forward, approaching Vin, who stood at the very edge of the cliff. Being up so high still made him a bit uncomfortable, yet she barely even noticed the sheer drop in front of her.
I should have been able to help you regain control of them, she said quietly, staring out into the distance. Yeoman distracted me.
He distracted us all, Elend said. I felt the Koloss in my head, but even so I couldn't figure out what was going on. I'd regained control of them by the time you got back, but by then a lot of them were dead.
Yeoman has a Mistborn, Vin said.
You're sure?
Vin nodded.
One more thing, he thought.
He contained his frustration, however. His men needed to see him confident.
I'm giving 1,000 of the Koloss to you, he said. We should have split them up earlier.
You're stronger, Vin said.
Not strong enough, apparently.
Vin sighed, then nodded.
Let me go down below.
They'd found that proximity helped with taking control of Koloss.
I'll pull off a section of 1,000 or so, then let go. Be ready to grab them as soon as I do.
Vin nodded, then stepped off the side of the plateau.
I should have realized that I was getting caught up in the excitement of the fighting, Vin thought as she fell through the air. It seemed so obvious to her now. And, unfortunately, the results of the attack left her feeling even more pent up and anxious than she had before. She tossed a coin and landed. Even a drop of several hundred feet didn't bother her anymore. It was odd to think about. She remembered timidly standing atop the Luthadel city wall, afraid to use her allomancy to jump off, despite Kelsier's coaxing. Now she could step off a cliff and muse thoughtfully to herself on the way down. She walked across the powdery ground. The ash came up to the top of her calves, and would have been difficult to walk in without Pewter to give her strength. The ash falls were growing increasingly dense. Human approached her almost immediately. She couldn't tell if the Koloss was simply reacting to their bond, or if he was actually aware and interested enough to pick her out. He had a new wound on his arm, a result of the fighting. He fell into step beside her as she moved up to the other Koloss, his massive form obviously having no trouble with the deep ash. As usual, there was very little emotion to the Koloss camp. Just a short time before, they had been screaming in bloodlust, attacking each other as stones crashed down from above. Now they simply sat in the ash, gathered in small groups, ignoring their wounds. They would have had fires going if there had been wood available. Some few dug, finding handfuls of dirt to chew on. "Don't your people care, human?" Vin asked.
The massive Koloss looked down at her, ripped face bleeding slightly.
"Care?"
"That so many of you died," Vin said.
She could see corpses lying about, forgotten in the ash, save for the ritual flaying that was the Koloss form of burial. Several Koloss still worked, moving between bodies, ripping off the skin.
"We take care of them," Human said.
"Yes," Vin said. "You pull their skin off. Why do you do that, anyway?"
"They are dead,"
Human said, as if that were enough of an explanation. To the side, a large group of Koloss stood up, commanded by Ellen's silent orders. They separated themselves from the main camp, trudging out into the ash. A moment later they began to look around, no longer moving as one. Vin reacted quickly. She turned off her metals, burned her alamin, then flared zinc in a massive pull, riding the Koloss emotions. As expected, they snapped under her control, just as Human was. Controlling this many was more difficult, but still well within her abilities. Vin ordered them to be calm, and to not kill, then let them return to the camp.
From now on, they would remain in the back of her mind, no longer requiring allomancy to manipulate. They were easy to ignore unless their passions grew strong. Human watched them.
"We are fewer," he finally said.
Vin started. "Yes," she said. "You can tell that?"
"I..."
Human trailed off, beady little eyes watching his camp.
"We fought. We died. We need more. We have too many swords."
He pointed in the distance to a large pile of metal, wedge-shaped Koloss swords that no longer had owners. "You can control a Koloss population through the swords," Ellent had once told her. "They fight to get bigger swords as they grow. Extra swords go to the younger, smaller Koloss. But nobody knows where those come from." "You need Koloss to use those swords, human," Vin said. Human nodded. "Well," she said, "you'll need to have more children, then."
"Children?"
"More," Vin said. "More Koloss."
"You need to give us more," human said, looking at her.
"Me?"
"You fought," he said, pointing at her shirt.
There was blood there, not her own.
"Yes, I did," Vin said.
"Give us more."
"I don't understand," Vin said. "Please, just show me."
"I can't,"
human said, shaking his head as he spoke in his slow tone.
"It's not right."
"Wait," Vin said.
"Not right?" It was the first real statement of values she'd gotten from a Koloss. Human looked at her, and she could see consternation on his face. So Vin gave him an allomantic nudge. She didn't know exactly what to ask him to do, and that made her control of him weaker. Yet she pushed him to do as he was thinking, trusting, for some reason, that his mind was fighting with his instincts. He screamed. Vin backed away, shocked. But human didn't attack her. He ran into the Koloss camp, a massive blue monster on two legs, kicking up ash. Others backed away from him, not out of fear, for they wore their characteristic impassive faces. They simply appeared to have enough sense to stay out of the way of an enraged Koloss of human size. Vin followed carefully as human approached one of the dead bodies of a Koloss, who still wore his skin. Human didn't rip the skin off, however. He flung the corpse over his shoulder and took off running toward Ellen's camp. "Uh-oh," Vin thought, dropping a coin and taking to the air. She bounded after human, careful not to outpace him. She considered ordering him back, but did not. He was acting unusually, true, but that was a good thing. Koloss generally didn't do anything unusual. They were predictable to a fault. She landed at the camp's guard post and waved the soldiers back. Human continued on, barreling into the camp, startling soldiers. Vin stayed with him, keeping the soldiers away. Human paused in the middle of camp, a bit of his passion wearing off. Vin nudged him again. After looking about, Human took off toward the broken section of camp, where Yeoman's soldiers had attacked. Vin followed, growing more and more curious. Human hadn't taken out his sword. Indeed, he didn't seem angry at all, just intense. He arrived at a section where tents had fallen and men had died. The battle was still only a few hours old, and soldiers moved about cleaning up. Triage tents had been set up just beside the battlefield. Human headed for those. Vin rushed ahead, cutting him off just as he reached the tent with the wounded.
"Human," she said warily, "what are you doing?"
He ignored her, slamming the dead Koloss down on the ground. Now, finally, Human ripped the skin off the corpse. It came off easily. This was one of the smaller Koloss whose skin hung in folds, far too large for its body. Human pulled the skin free, causing several of the watching guards to groan in disgust. Vin watched closely, despite the stomach-wrenching sight. She felt like she was on the verge of understanding something very important. Human reached down and pulled something out of the Koloss corpse.
Wait, Vin said, stepping forward. What was that?
Human ignored her. He pulled out something else, and this time Vin caught a flash of bloodied metal. She followed his fingers as he moved, and this time saw the item before he pulled it free and hid it in his palm. A spike. A small metal spike, driven into the side of the dead Koloss. There was a rip of blue skin beside the spike head, as if the spikes were holding the skin in place, Vin thought. Like nails holding cloth to a wall. Spikes. Spikes like... Human retrieved a fourth spike, then stepped forward into the tent. Surgeons and soldiers moved back in fear, crying out for Vin to do something as Human approached the bed of a wounded soldier. Human looked from one unconscious man to another, then reached for one of them.
Stop!
Vin commanded in her mind. Human froze in place. Only then did the complete horror of what was happening occur to her.
Lord Ruler, she whispered. You were going to turn them into Koloss, weren't you? That's where you come from. That's why there are no Koloss children.
I am human, the large beast said quietly.